I'd like to read the scripture for the morning, which is from Luke 1, verses 46 to 55. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked with favor on the lowliness of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the powerful from their thrones and lifted up the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, according to the promise he made to our ancestors, to Abraham and to his descendants forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and then returned to her home. Randy, may God bless you as you share with us this morning.
Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for this beautiful text, Mary's song of praise in Luke. I pray, Lord, as we dig into this text together, that your Holy Spirit will speak this morning and we may listen. In Jesus' name, amen. I was listening to our former bishop Jason's sermon at 9:30 p.m. this past week, and I was once again reminded that I have been deemed a pastor nerd for listening to sermons at 9:30 at night for fun. But when it's Jason's sermons, you can't help but be drawn to his wisdom, even if it is 9:30 at night. And Jason was talking about the Advent text from the first week of staying awake in the darkness. I was struck. Here's Jason preaching about the darkness and staying awake, looking for God showing up in expectantly, even in difficult times. And Jason was preaching this sermon knowing that 10 days later, his wife Joanne will be having surgery to remove a brain tumor. That put a new meaning to Advent for me as I listened to Jason preach that sermon. It's one thing to wait expectantly. It's another thing to wait expectantly when it's really dark. Advent is a time we set aside to prepare our hearts for the celebration of the birth of Christ. To some of us, these stories are very familiar. To others, they maybe are new. But to each of us, these stories invite us in to hear something new, something fresh, something that we can join with the author, Luke, and with God and the Holy Spirit, and together say, "Yes, let it be." And the Advent theme this week is, yes, let it be whole. One aspect of the God that we worship and what we believe together is that God is actively at work in this world to make all things whole and new. God is a God of reconciliation. God is making things whole in our own lives, in our community, in our church, in our world. Yes, let it be whole. And we are participants in this story of God making all things whole. We are invited to join in this work. Shalom, this wonderful word from the Hebrew, a welcoming and a goodbye. It means wholeness, completeness, peace with God, peace with self, peace with others, peace with all of creation, the whole world. That is shalom. That's what God is at work in this world, bringing wholeness back. When we are extending God's peace, we are extending God's plan for wholeness. And this journey to wholeness, it truly is a journey. And that's what we see in this text this morning in Luke. We read about Mary's journey from fear to faith, a journey to wholeness. We can follow Mary's story here of her going somewhere, of her coming from these places of fear to be able to say, let it be, to even being able to praise God. And so let's join with Mary's song this morning. Luke 1 gives us this glimpse of a woman of praise, of acceptance of God's call and courage. But before we just look right at the song of praise, it might be good to back up a little bit to before Mary was able to praise, and let's take a look at some of her fears and tremblings. We read in Luke 1, verse 28, that an angel has appeared to Mary, and it says, "Greetings, you are favored, the Lord is with you." And we read that Mary's response is one of being greatly shaken, greatly perplexed. Fear. Can you blame Mary? How would you respond if an angel appeared to you? And she is told in verse 30, "Do not be afraid." And then the angel goes on and tells Mary that she will give birth. And Mary's response, very appropriate, I would think, "How can this be? I am a virgin." And the angel explains, and the angel asks Mary to have faith. The angel asks Mary to trust. And the angel says to Mary in verse 37, "For nothing will be impossible with God." And then Mary says, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." And then the angel departed from her. Let it be. And then following those verses, we come to the verses that were read by Janet for us this morning of Mary's song of praise. Do you see the journey that Mary's been on? Do you see the movement for Mary from how can it be? Fear, questions, perplexed, shame even because she's a virgin. And if anybody would find out about that, there would be incredible shame put on her. But this journey from all of that to let it be and a song of praise to God. What happened for Mary to be able to move on her journey from being shaken to being able to say, let it be? How did Mary find a confident yes to God to take her to a new place? When Mary says, let it be, she is letting go of the fears of humiliation, rejection, possibly stoning in that time because she is a virgin for giving birth. Something that would not only bring shame to her, but to her entire family system. In that time, your understanding of shame was not individual, but it was within a whole family system. And so Mary was holding all of this, not just for herself, but for her husband and for their families. Mary had to face that head on and be on a journey to faith and trust in God. Mary chooses faith over fear on this journey She chooses to believe in the promises of God. By God choosing Mary, God is showing that he is not partial to the wealthy or to the powerful. So God has chosen Mary, but then Mary also has to choose God. A beautiful story, a beautiful journey. Now, if we're honest, if I'm honest, we're all tempted to say at times in our lives, I don't want to let it be. If we're honest, if I'm honest, I would much rather say, let it remain as it is. Let it be as it is now. Don't make me, God, take a step into the unknown or the unfamiliar. If I'm really honest, fears can cripple me and paralyze me when I think about the future and taking a leap of faith. It's really hard to be on the journey that Mary took from fear to faith. We live in a world with fear surrounding us everywhere. If we turn on the news, we walk down the street, the continuous narrative that we are told is to be fearful, and it creeps into our bones, whether we are aware of it or not. And so there is never a better time, friends, to be immersed in this story of Mary, to follow in her footsteps, to not let fear have the last word. And yet it is hard to say, yes, Lord, let it be on this new journey that you're inviting me into. Where do you see God at work in your life to move from fear to faith? I was thinking about a number of different examples in our world today and in our community where I saw this journey happening. I thought about the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services. If you don't know what they're doing, they are a local food bank and clothing bank right here about less than a mile from us. And it was a ministry started by the local congregations of Conestoga Valley, where they came together and worked. Now, as I've been in the ministerium now for going into the fourth year, it is a true miracle of God when you get pastors from many different denominations and no denominations and an incredible theological spectrum. Incredible theological spectrum. To come together and say, we want to work together in the Conestoga Valley to meet the physical needs and the spiritual needs of this community. There have been times when I have been so uncomfortable by the theological things that I'm hearing. And yet, we choose to come and show up, to work together. And one of the things that has come out of that ministerium, and true act of faith, was to birth the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Services. I'm sure at that time when they were trying to dream up how they could actually do this, there was a lot of fear. Can we really see this happening in our community? How are we going to get all the money, all the staffing? Will the people be receptive to this? Can we really work together? And those first leaders did that. They went in faith. And now we have that. And even within the CVCCS right now, there's different programs that they're always looking to birth. And one of those is a mentoring program for children and an after-school program to help with homework. And as I was hearing, a lot of the fears was that, well, we're not going to get enough volunteers to help with the mentoring. There's always fear in trying to think about the next thing and the appropriate fears, because we need to be wise in how we plan here. But there was an act of faith, and they said, no, we're going to do this mentoring program. And that was just birthed this year. And the response has been awesome. These families and children get coming after school to get help with homework. They get some food provided for them, And it's really blessing the entire family. It's a great example of how the CVCCS and the ministerium, the churches in our community, did not let fear have the last word, but they trusted God in faith, and now we're seeing the fruits of that. Another example. Last year, you remember we helped to staff the women's winter shelter at the YWCA. Now, I don't know about you, but even for me, I had some fears when I thought about doing that. It's vulnerable. It's vulnerable to be present with people who are hurting because it makes us aware of our own pain. It makes us aware of our own privilege. It makes us aware of how stinking rich we are. And that's uncomfortable. And so when we actually go and we stay with women and children who don't have a roof over them and they have to go to the YWCA to sleep, it's vulnerable and there's fear. But we did it, and we staffed the place, the slots for a week. And I heard from so many of you, wow, that was a really powerful experience. I'm really glad I did that, even though there was some fear in getting me there. We saw God in those women. We saw Jesus showing up in an unexpected way and in those children. God came to us through them, and we were blessed. A journey from fear to faith. All of you can think about your own journeys that all of us are on. This morning, we have a beautiful song from Mary that she sings. Mary is leading us. Mary is up here. She's the song leader. And she's starting the song, and she's inviting us in to join her in this song. And as we sing this song, we are joining in God's work of wholeness in our lives, in our community, and in our world. God is inviting us, just as he invited Mary, to be a people on a journey toward wholeness. What is the new thing that God wants to birth in you, in us? How are we aware of the fears that want to say no? And how are we aware of the invitation from God to say yes? As we continue on our journey during Advent, may we all move from shaky, fearful knees to heartfelt praise. This morning, if you find yourself that you're not quite ready to say, yes, let it be, I want to say that that's okay too. God is still with you. God has not forgotten you, even if you can't take that leap of faith yet. If you can't quite say that, God is still with you. And if you are able to say, yes, let it be, with whatever it is that God's inviting you to, we celebrate that and we walk together. God is with all of us on our journey. Maybe you're still at the shaky knees right now, or maybe you're full, let it be, Lord. But wherever you're at on the journey, God is making you whole. All of us are on the way with Christ. And if we're on the way, we're on the way to wholeness. Yes, Lord, let it be whole. Amen.